possibly doing a spiral staircase. They don't want to take any space away from any deck. So, and with regard to the third floor deck, I think that it's important enough that in the event it's denied, then we're no worse than aware, because it sounds like this would be an area where the house could be built by right. So we'll take our chance on that one.
Mr. Goldstein, have you read Roger's report?
I have.
Are you congruent with it?
Yes.
Okay, it's, so you're able to comply?
We are.
Okay.
And we're certainly able to address the construction issue with regard to the indemnity and the hold harmless, because of course, the construction that occurs on the Bruno property is not allowed by law to have any negative impact on another property. Drainage will be addressed. Everything that we've been attempting to do, that we've been discussing tonight, will be addressed. So I think we would rest.
So you are complete?
We are.
Okay. Members of the board, you have any further questions at this point?
I do.
We're going to go to a vote.
I have a question. No, please go. I would like to address the neighbor again, if you don't mind. The answer that he gave you, is that satisfactory to you after the concerns you brought up with the construction, with the new foundation?
So,
and then that's one question. The second question is, do you want that house to be done or not to be done? Because you're not doing your house. Because he made a statement, that Mr. Goldstein made a statement that you don't want that, the new house to be constructed. Is that true, or are you just concerned about the structure of your house?
We've never had that conversation. I am concerned about the structure of my house, but I've never had a conversation with him or anyone else for that matter about my home.
It seemed like when you were addressing the board, you're very concerned about your habitat, your house. He's answered the question as far as a new foundation and what he's going to guarantee you that your structure will remain the same by asking you to take pictures. Are you all right with that?
So what I would say is we were around for her, for Superstorm Sandy. So this, now my mom passed in 2020. So this is an inherited house for me, my sister, yes, and my brother. So we did see what happened during Hurricane Superstorm Sandy. We have seen underneath our, there have been changes. There are things to anyone to be able to say they can guarantee anything in such a volatile environment. And after the damage that the storm had done and we're not recovering from, and again, the reference to like constant flooding, there's no way that you can guarantee anything because the ground is constantly changing. Our weather conditions are constantly changing. It's just a different environment. So the word guarantee to me, you can't guarantee. In my personal opinion, you cannot guarantee. We have seen that. We have seen there are no guarantees. We don't know exactly.
Right. Let's limit the time on this. The question's been asked and answered.
Okay.
I want to answer one more. Are you opposed to what he's doing?
I don't want it to affect my property in the ways that I feel it will affect my property. And also from the things that I've read in my research, I find that there is an aesthetic, there's a light, there's a privacy, there's just, again, they've even referred to the facts that there might be cracks and there might be things and they'll be accountable for it, which just basically says to me that there will be things. And it's 81 years old, and I just think a lot of what's being done changes the homes, that they look totally different now. I think it will affect our property value. I see the negatives on my side, having nothing to do with, like, again, it's lovely what their plan would be for their family.
I just wanted to ask you that question, and you answered it, and I thank you.
All right, thank you.
All right, Mr. Goldstein, since this has been asked and answered, you have the right.
Lance has a question.
To rebuttal. Okay.
Lance has a question.
Okay. I got maybe not a question, more of a statement. So Mr. Goldstein was accurate when he talked about the construction going on next to a property. There's protections for that through our building code. They're required not to damage your property. That aspect of it is really not in our realm. That's not this board's job to look at that aspect of things. The other stuff you brought up was very much in line with the character of the neighborhood, substantial detriment to your property and the neighborhood itself. The architectural is, there's no continuity with your property, I get that. And that's what's got me concerned about the application. The construction things, I think they get, whether they're worked out, they have to fix things in your property, whatever, but that'll be worked out outside of whether we approve or deny, because they're going to do some improvements to this property. My concern is, you know, yes, they're showing us pictures of where this has happened. It's not ideal, and I'm not thrilled with, one, Eric, don't take this offensively, the veiled threat that if we take this back deck off, we're going to build right to that rear property, right to that back line. You know, I've said I don't like that, you know, aircraft carrier landing deck with 28 feet coming off the back of the building. You know, my neighbor did it to me, and I don't like it. So I'm sorry you're feeling that wrath right now. I can tell you right now, I'm going to vote no for the deck. We're getting that long. It's 28 feet past Ms. Lynn's building. You're going past her with three stories of a structure. That's a problem for me. That's putting her entire backyard in shape during the morning and afternoon of the day. In the evening, she'll get the other side of the sunlight. But I think looking at this plan, you can see this back corner of her building. Then you have three stories going up all the way back almost 28 feet to the rear of that site. I said it before, it seems too much to me on this lot. The building coverage is over. The setbacks I get, you're going vertical, I don't have a problem with that. It seems like it's grabbing too much. And when we voiced that concern, you know, your answer was vote on it separately. So I'm telling you right now, I'm voting no for that part of it. I haven't decided how I'm voting for the rest of it. So I'm sorry, that's how I feel. I think we're grabbing too much here, I really do.
Okay.
Sorry.
All right, we're going to go to a vote now. Thank you, Commissioner.
I just want to sum up and say, look, I understand that, you know, we're trying to make the property more flood compliant and put two off-street parking spots there. I understand the board might have concerns, the neighbor has concerns. We can address the neighbor's concerns. Mr. Landgraf doesn't like the fact that the deck is proposed to be big. That's why we're putting it up for a separate vote, and to the extent the board grants it or doesn't grant it, we'll deal with it. But as far as the project itself, you know, I think the question is this project better than leaving it like it is? If you leave it like it is, it's more prone to flood and there's no off-street parking. So I don't know how we can do anything else other than leave the property like it is and hope for the best, which is not a great idea. It's almost like after Sandy, remember all the people that came out and they were against FEMA. Don't raise your houses. Don't go to FEMA. FEMA's bad. Well, FEMA gave us, you know, house raises and more flood protection. We don't want to be in a situation where you're saying to the Brunos, you can't do this, and you're going to be stuck having a house that's more prone to flooding, has less parking. This solves a lot of problems. If it's a design aspect that any of the board members have questions about, I'd be certainly happy to address them, other than the third floor deck, which I think we know is going a certain way. But as far as the house itself, other than the setbacks, we've got really its building coverage. The one that is in addition to the thing we can't control, because the setbacks we can't control, is building coverage. And we think Mr. Baglivo put on, you know, a case where the positives outweigh the negatives. And the board's, you know, going to be fit to do what it wants on the deck. So we can rest with that.
Okay, thank you.
23, Mom, here to go raise the interior.
All right. At the time, and then you get
the flooding problem.
Now,
I don't know. Okay. He raised this whole first floor. Okay.
And that area's pretty low, so
I think so. As far as parking, yeah, I don't want to sound nasty or anything. There never was parking on that block. I spent my first 33 summers there on that block with my grandma.
All right, we're going to go to a vote now. So, are you complete?
We are.
All right, we're going to go to a vote.
Leo was asked the question, at this point, where should we take the deck variance first?
That's up to the board. If we want to do that first, we could.
I would suggest that.
Yeah.
Okay. What is the board's preference, deck variance first or the three variance?
Well,
As opposed to what? The whole thing?
We're gonna take two votes ultimately. One's gonna be on the deck, whether it can be outside the building envelope. And then the other three variances are the side yard, two side yard setbacks and building coverage. We're gonna do that separately.
What is the choice? Deck first or the three variances first?
All right, we'll do the deck first. What I'll say is whatever's granted, I'll go over the conditions. If anything's granted, these would be the conditions that'll apply. We'll say anything in Mr. McLaren's report unless otherwise addressed. Any representations made by the applicant, subject to any outside approvals, the normal standard conditions. The other ones I wrote down were, they'll give us a non-conversion agreement for the ground floor space. They're gonna keep the gutters within the property lines and 6-inch gutters. You were okay with that, I believe. They'll relabel the den as a bedroom, understanding they don't have to use it as a bedroom. I think that might not be the intent, but it meets the definition of a bedroom. And you're still fine with parking, so we'll just show that on the plan as a bedroom. You'll leave that landscaping bed in the front. I don't believe it requires an encroachment license given its height, but to the extent it does, you'll have to get an encroachment license. And you'll provide a grading plan from Mr. Schaefer's office or from whoever's office. So now in terms of the variances.
Yes, we're doing the deck only.
We're gonna do the deck only first.
You have to give the size of the deck.
Well, the variance requested is to permit the deck outside the building envelope. So on the, everyone can see that elevation on the top.
If I could add to that, it's outside the building envelope by 9 feet.
By 9 feet.
It's the 9 feet.
So it's not 9 feet.
It's 9 feet under the roof and 9 feet over the building envelope. Just so everyone knows.
Okay.
But this would only be the 9 feet, right?
Correct.
Yes.
Because by right, they can chop off the 9 feet. They don't need the variance. So with the variance, they're going 9 feet past the building envelope.
It's about 9 feet.
And that's the only variance.
The building's about 9 feet. That's it.
And that's all we're voting on now. So we'll need just on that specific issue, a motion, a second, and a roll call vote.
Okay, I have a motion, please, and a second.
I make a motion. A second.
Okay. I have a roll call vote. State your reasons.
Commissioner Langriff.
As I said before, I think this deck is an overreach for the application. I don't think it meets the criteria for aesthetic improvement. I think it creates a wall there. I'm not in favor of a no on that variance.
Joe Ionizelli.
I echo everything the commissioner said. I'm also a no for the variance.
Joe? That's a no, correct?
No, okay.
Jay Cook.
I look at the application and what's going on and the coverages and the potential shading of the area and also with the just the encumbrances that go with it, and I suggest that it not be it. I vote no.
Lorraine Salata.
I vote no on the deck. I think it really robs the neighbors of some privacy. Light, air, and everything else. It's a no.
Dan Smith III.
I'm going to follow the suit here, and I'm going to vote no. I just feel that with the neighbor, this is a big... I mean, this changes their lives dramatically, for sure. And I think that having that extra space on that upper level is not necessary. And I think it'd be better just to do away with it. And that's the way I feel.
Mike Wiesen.
I feel as though this whole board tries to be positive. And by being positive, they make suggestions to get a positive answer. I believe we made suggestions to get a positive answer and it wasn't taken. I don't believe the deck should be granted, and I say no.
Peter Taco.
I'm gonna follow suit on this. I'm gonna vote no on the deck. I question the scope of the entire project and just, you know, with the coverage variance and the deck variance, the side yard can't do anything about that, but I think it's a little much.
Greer Gaskell?
I vote no on the deck as far as reasons already stated.
Wendy Bartlett?
I also vote no on the deck for all the reasons that have been stated.
All right. Now, the next vote we're going to take is for the remaining three variances. There's the side yard setback on the left side. It's at 0 feet, where 4 is the required. Side yard setback on the right side is 3.1 feet, where 4 feet is required. And then building coverage, 55% is permitted, and they're at 59.7%. So again, we'll need a motion, a second, and a roll call on those.
We have a motion, please, and a second.
I make a motion.
Second.
Okay, we'll have a roll call vote. State your reasons.
Commissioner Langria?
This is a tough one for me. We like having homes renovated here. It's something we need to do after Sandy. A lot of these homes are aged, not flood compliant. I wish there was a better way to do this. I wish there was a better way we could help him do something. We do support applicants with new structures. This is mostly new structure. It is providing all street parking. Part of the struggle is the aesthetics of it. It's just, I've seen the ones around town, Eric, that you showed us. They're just not a fan. This one is better because of the roof structure. I like that better. The old barn style. John's going to tell me I'm calling that a different thing, but all the builders are going to leave it. That looks like an old barn, so we'll call it old barn. Is that a hip roof, I guess? Is that what you call it?
Gambrel.
Gambrel. I am struggling with this, but I am going to vote yes. I appreciate doing what you're doing with your house. I know you want your outdoor space, but I think the deck is just a little bit much. You guys can make it work. You've done a nice thing with the house you have now, and I vote yes, and I'll shut up.
Joe Iannazelli?
So, I'm on the fire side. That's my job on this board, is to speak of fire issues. One issue I have, I'm not crazy about the parking that's going to be directly next to a living space next door and directly below a bedroom upstairs. I think it's got a problem with that. I know, there's only so much you can do. The design is nice. It's a nice design. I live in the neighborhood. I walk my dog by this house almost every day. I'm not crazy, just like the commissioner said, I'm not crazy about the overall, aesthetic. It's not very aesthetically pleasing, but I really have no reason to vote no, so I'm a yes.
Jay Cook?
I'm going to vote yes on this application. The three variances that are there, two are actually existing and are of the position of the building. Can't be altered, one bit. The third is the coverage. It's less than 10% increase. And also it's a fault of just renovating a building. I think the testimony said this building was maybe 81 years old, I'm not sure. So the building is in need of some repair and so on. Now, obviously it would have been very good if the entire building was raised, both others that did it. But when you have one owner doing it, one owner not doing it, you have the rights of a property owner. And the rights of a property owner also could be considered here. And they have the right to improve their property as well. But also there's obligations to, we have resiliency requirements that the government put in there that other people are required to comply to. And they're also compliant. And that helps the insurance rating of the city, which reduces insurance costs. And then finally, of course, you have parking. He's adding parking places. There's no parking there. Now, in this community, parking is considered a major problem and a complaint by almost everyone. So the man is addressing key problems within the city itself. And now, we are not an engineering review board. However, the engineering was put before us. And I have to say, I'm a builder myself. Been building for 45 years. The plan that he proposed and the length that they put to was exceptional for doing an inside lift. I have not seen plans go to that extent, which he is doing. And I have to commend the, whoever designed it. They came up with a novel plan and a support for it. But that's not within, that's within the building code itself, and I don't believe it's in the purview of this board. But it does safeguard the owners, and it safeguards the city. And they took upon themselves to do professional engineering and use that to comply in the project. So therefore, and there's also some aesthetics involved. There's also kind of a mutton Jeff, if you will, a tall and a small, and it isn't the best aesthetics at all. So that is to be considered. That's a, it's a strike against the project as well as a strike for the project. So it kind of comes out even, maybe. But overall, it's a step forward. It's a positive step. Somebody's taking an action rather than inaction. So I'll always side for action and improvement and looking forward for the city. So I vote yes.
Thank you.
Lorraine Salata.
So when we look at applications like this, and we've had, well, not a lot, but enough to be familiar with the buildings that are attached, and one party wants to raise or wants to go up and the other doesn't. And one of the, I mean, there's always an effect for the structure on the opposing party. But the one thing that we've tried to do on this board consistently is look at the effect building has to do on the neighborhoods. And that's something that I've always been very involved in. That's why I got involved with the landscaping programs and things like that. Because you want to keep your neighborhoods as attractive as you can. That brings people. The aesthetic appeal to me is extremely important. When I see a building like this with one here and one here, that has, to me, has no aesthetic value. The new one might look great, but the older unit looks terrible. So I just don't see where passing something like that would improve the neighborhood. Granted, you could get some parking, and that's great, but to me, that pulls the neighborhood down. It looks like it's half done, and I just can't agree with that, so I will vote no.
Dan Smith III.
Well, there's a lot going on here, and I think that you have a homeowner who's made a decision that he wants to improve his property because he's been living there since 2015, and the water conditions aren't getting any better. So he's protecting his property, which is his right and obligation to property. What the neighbors do, you have no control over. You try not to overly impact them, but there will be an impact, okay? But you're providing two off-street parking places, okay? Not one. You have one inside, you have one outside. It's a rear-loaded situation, which is fantastic for Monmouth Avenue. Okay, so they will no longer be parking out front. They'll be parking in their rear. The decks are something that everybody wants to have at the shore. And I think that you can't deny them that right. They have fantastic bay views. That's all a plus. They're spending a lot of money on this new construction. They're going to live here for a long time. They're committed to it. And I see that it's a lot on the plate, but I think there's more positive than there is negative, and I'm going to vote for the project.
Mike Wiesen.
I want to thank the Lins for presenting a very commendable presentation. Her concerns were adequately answered by Mr. Goldstein, and I believe he's a man of his word as well as the owner, and hopefully he will be. I think the project is, would have been nice if both sides did, but this is an improvement. And with the parking and the smaller deck, I'm going to vote yes.
Thank you.
Peter Taco?
I'm going to vote in favor of the application. The reality of it is it's down to essentially one variance that push come to shove, they probably could have gotten rid of with a little creative landscaping. I do agree with Lorraine that maybe not the best situation, but I don't think we can penalize the applicant because he wants to improve his property and the neighbor doesn't want to or doesn't have the means to do it. I think at the end of the day, it will be an asset to the neighborhood. I think the benefit certainly outweighs the detriment, and that's the reason I'm voting for the application in favor.
Greg Gaskell?
I'm going to vote no. The house itself is pleasing to the eye, but attached to the other dwelling. I think it will look more of an eyesore than, and I'm all for it moving ahead in that area. And I don't like the parking underneath, like a bedroom, car parking.
Wendy Bartlett?
I struggle with this and I have to vote no. I mean, I so think that the positives outweigh the negatives. So it's a 37-foot house on an 18-foot wide lot. And then adjacent, it's a twin. If it were not a twin, I would think it was a lot, but it would be in compliance with all. I realize there's no height variance, but because it's quite compliant, but I think it's going to look ridiculous. And the aesthetics just doesn't outweigh the positives for me.
Complete, Jeff. Complete?
Yeah.
Six,
yeah. 6-3. I got 6 yeses. It's 6-3. Vote carries.
Thank you. Thank you all for listening, and we do appreciate, it was a tough one, a lot of stuff, I think some of the board members said, there's a lot going on, but we appreciate all your input, and that's it for this one.
Patricia, thank you for appearing before the board and spending your time coming here. You prepared yourself, and you enjoyed yourself fine.
Mr. Chairman, will you open this name as a D?
Very D, Mr. Next and on the side.
Excuse.
So you can do it. You can do it.
Yeah.
So that would be the floor.
Right.
That's what I would feel the same way. Right.
The neighbor next to the wall.
Like those people in Winchester, they pulled straight back instead of, that was a nice one. Yeah. So the people at Winchester go straight back. That was a nice one. I went straight up.
You went straight up. We put it back out. Put it back and then we
were
back
up. Well, you can't really.
I don't know.
You should have taken the advice and not have those on the deck, because you knew you had to.
Let's go. Time's wasting, sir.
We agree.
You ready to go? Board members? Up to the next case. There's no preamble on this one either.
Trying to speed it up a little bit. I do realize that everyone here is a volunteer and it's getting late and it's Monday night and no one wants to spend all night in City Hall. All right. If you don't mind, I'll go ahead and Roger. Let's get started. Sure. Eric Goldstein on behalf of the applicants. Property is actually owned by an LLC, but the representatives of the LLC are here. This is for a potential for a D variance, and I know Commissioner Landgraf left. Mr. Barnhart and Mr. Massion are going to discuss whether or not it ultimately is a D. So I guess, Leo, for purposes of... For purposes of the application, I don't know how you want to handle it.
I think you could, unless I'm misunderstanding, Commissioner Landgraf left, the mayor's not here. Those would be the normal two people who would step down on the D variance. So there's no one in proper sitting. So as we get into it, if it turns out it's a D, everyone else is just alternates and they can, they can ask questions. And,
absolutely.
And we'll take a seven-member vote, and if it turns out it's a C, we'll...
We have Jessica here.
I know, but if it turns out to, if it turns out to be a D variance, only seven people will vote.
Oh, okay.
And they need five out of seven. But,
All right. So for purposes of moving this along a little bit, I've got Mr. Barnhart, Mr. Massion, who are going to be sworn in, and then I'll have them qualified. I believe the board will notice they've been here before. They're qualified, of course. But John and Dan, I guess, stand up, please, and ask Mr. Manis to swear you in.
Just give us your name and business address for the record, and I'll swear the two of you.
Daniel Scott Massion, 1409 New Road, registered architect. John Barnhart, welcome to South Island Avenue.
Microphone is not on.
And if you could each please raise your right hand, you swear affirm the testimony you'll give us, and it'll be the truth?
Yes.
John, you swear to tell the truth also?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Massion, for the record, you're a licensed architect.
Yes.
You appear before this board.
I am.
In the state of New Jersey. Let the record reflect your credentials are acceptable. Mr. Barnhart, you're a licensed engineer and a planner, correct? State of New Jersey.
Correct, yes.
You have appeared before this board. Your credentials are acceptable.
Thank you.
All right, Dan, why don't you go first, please? Mr. Chairman?
Could you do one favor? Could you explain to the board what the variance is?
I think Dan will probably have a better opportunity.
Okay, somebody do it first.
Yes.
So the board understands what they're hearing.
This is also an attached, a little bit different because the property owners own both sides, but this is also an attached structure that's going to be renovated. Dan, why don't you...
Yes.
Oh, well, this is can you hear me from here?
Can you
bring the
bring the microphone or a microphone over?
Just turn that on, Eric.
Okay, I'll just run you through the existing portion and then the proposed, and I'll go through the variances as quickly as possible. The existing structure is unique because we have, as was stated, an attached dwelling, two family, right? So there is a property line down the middle. We're proposing to renovate both, put an addition on both of these properties. The existing home is a two-story, which contains, the side contains three bedrooms currently. The proposal is, when I'm referring to my exhibit Z1, which you should have a copy of, you can see the existing front elevation in the bottom right-hand corner with the adjacent properties and scales of adjacent properties. Our addition is to add a floor above the property. We're going to maintain three bedrooms and a lounge, whether it meets the definition of a bedroom, does not have a door. So four bedrooms, depending on the interpretation. So it would be an increase of one bedroom in each side of this property, both of these properties. We're also going to provide, while there's an existing first floor deck, we're adding a second floor deck that matches the first floor deck, and then two smaller decks on the third floor that are pulled back from the front property line that are enclosed with a pent roof for aesthetics. That is about the scope of work. So it's because of the unique configuration of the property and the narrowness, if we address this as two separate lots, which you know we would have to for zoning, in this configuration, we do have some setbacks. One is height, because it, based on the smaller lot, on the 4.5 rather than 49 feet wide, we would require a variance for the height. Now, if this is considered, because this is one structure sitting on two lots with imaginary line, if it's a 49-foot lot, it would comply. So that is one way that we look at it. We view from the street, the scale of this building is going to be, looks like it's on a 50-foot lot or 49-foot lot. No one understands.
Mr. Mascione, could you hold up one second?
Yes.
Let's talk about the lot, the zone, and the zoning qualifications of the property and what zone you're applying to the application. Before we get in there too far.
It's an R7 as far as the John Johnson plan, so I don't do on board with all variances and setbacks. It's an R7 zone designation.
Yes. Now, is it a attached single family, a zero lot line?
Yes, it's a single family on one piece of property.
I think, Mr. Chairman, the way to look at it, and I'm sure you have this in your material, you've got lots 27 and 28. The lot is divided where the wall is directly down the structure, but they're connected. So
I understand it. That's why for semantics purposes here, it has a common party wall between the two of the properties.
Yes.
The property line's down the middle. It's an attached single family, basically what it comes down to. So let's not play around with cement. So the board understands everything. So that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. So the line is directly down the middle,
right.
And one side of the house is on one side of the house
it's
is on
mirrored.
The
other. It's mirrored. It's right.
Now, do we have conditional uses already in place for that? Do we have a conditional use already in place for the R7 single?
Yes, there are conditions.
We have a conditional use already set up for that. Okay, now are you applying that standard or a different standard?
I believe we're
applying that standard, but the argument Dan's making, and I think John can supplement this, is that it's one common owner that owns property that spans two lots, 10 and 12. To the extent this were two different owners, kind of like the last case, potentially we have an issue. But because of the common ownership, we're saying you could look at it one of two ways. You could look at it as if the lot were as wide as the entirety of both lots. Or if you look at it applying the R7 to each one, you would have the lot down the middle, the lot line down the middle, and then the setbacks would be based on.
Well, if you apply it as one lot with one building on it, that means you erase the subdivision line.
We're not doing that, but
you could look at it. I think what Dan was saying is
then it's two lots with the zone applied to each lot.
Yeah,
and that's what I'm saying as far as
is that what you're doing?
Variances, though, from an aesthetic point of view, my point was that when you're in the street, only we will know that there's a boundary.
I understand that, but we're here at a zoning board,
yeah.
And we're adjudicating the law. So we're going to do it that way, correct? Or are we?
Give the definition and move.
No, my plan's prepared.
Okay, fine.
As to, I was just doing
I just wanted to know what you were doing and how you were handling it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay,
and I think Dan said, Mr. Chairman, is that,
okay,
with the exception of the people in this room tonight, if you were to go by that property and didn't know, you wouldn't notice any difference because of the way it's built.
That's perfectly good, but we're here tonight on...
No, we're not, my drawings are prepared as a separate lot.
R7, two separate lots.
I'm merely wanting the board to know exactly how we're doing it.
I stated, what are we looking at here?
Okay, let's go to the variances, is that the ideal?
Well, you said it was an attached single family with conditions. Is that what we're applying here?
Two.
Two.
Yeah.
Okay, please proceed.
So the variances would be the principal setbacks for the front yard of existing non-conforming, but we are adding the second floor and third floor decks, which require variances. We have a rear yard setback, which also is existing non-conforming, but because of the third floor addition, we would be asking for a variance. Building height, based on the lot width, we are asking for, it's required 31 feet, we're asking for 33.83 feet. Is that a four? There are some existing non-conforming conditions, which you can look at lot area because of the width and the size. As I said, the front yard setbacks, the porches, and the addition on the floor.
I think respectfully, now that we're all on the same page with regard to the zoning and what we're proposing, looking at it as two separate lots, I think we're all good to go forward, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I think probably Dan, maybe I have John walk us through from a planning perspective, because of course we're talking about how it looks from the street, but why don't you talk to us, John, about how it looks from 30,000 feet? And how's it going to look on a tax map?
Okay, so Dan kind of gave you an understanding of the project. I think a lot of the discussion that we were having initially with regard to the actual use that is existing and is proposed to continue is that this is, in fact, an attached single-family project. There are two existing homes with the property line, it runs down the party wall, and that is how the project is proposed to move forward with some expansion. Having said that, with it being in an R7 zone, attached single family is a permitted use as a conditional use, and there are conditional use standards that you have to meet in order for it to be considered a permitted use going forward. Unfortunately, the existing condition of this lot size, your R7 zone for a attached single requires 60 feet of lot. This property has 49 feet of lot. Homes on both sides, no ability to gain additional lands. So what that does is it puts this building in a situation that really any improvements they want to make, if they want to elevate it, have a floor, if they're asking to do, put on a little back porch, anything, triggers a new variance because they are existing lots that do not meet your standards. So there's no way for anybody to improve upon these lots as they sit without triggering the hay use variance because you can't meet the conditions of the R7 zone for a single family type structure. So we do have those discussion earlier, is there or is there not a use variance or B variance associated with this application? There is a B variance necessary. It's a lesser of a burden because it is a conditional use which says that this use is permitted at this site. It's just that there are specific conditions that the project can't meet. So the burden of the B variance is a lesser burden than your standard use where you might have in the R4 or R2 zone, for example, a single family attached units are not permitted at all. So that becomes a much more difficult discussion. So as Dan pointed out, the real expansion here is just vertical. The proposal is to add a third floor to the building. All the front, side, and rear yard setbacks will remain identical to what they are right now. There is an addition of a set of stacked porches along the front of the building that you saw Dan identify earlier. And that does, those elements, because they're going vertical, can trigger variances. So the front yard setback, as it sits right now, is 7.7 feet. That's a non-conforming condition. Because we're adding that upper level, we are still in the plane of that area that is non-conforming. So I'm sure your front yard setback variance were 12 feet from the side.
John, pardon me a second, is the building being raised, is the building raised now?
Is the building being elevated?
Yes.
They are not proposing to elevate it. They're proposing to do a level of improvements that would keep them below the standard of a substantial improvement.
So below 50%, you're saying?
That's correct. That is the intent, yes.
Okay, so this is not a flood compliant building?
It is not currently.
And it will not be after it's renovated?
That is correct.
Okay, thank you.
So the addition of that, of that upper level does trigger front yard setback variances for the main structure, triggers variances because we're proposing to match the ground level deck front yard setback with the deck structures above. They're set back a little bit, but they also project into that front yard. The rear yard setback is an existing condition at 10.4 feet, where 12 feet is required. We're proposing again to go straight up with that within the same plane, so it would still be the 10.4 feet. It is a slight deviation from the requirement because it is required to be 12 feet in the rear yard. The side yards, apart from the existing attached one-story garage in the back corner, the side yards actually comply with the side yard setback requirement for a single-family attached unit. Which is, as an aside, is actually well in excess of the side yard requirement in the R7 district. This was just a single-family house. A single-family house at this location actually is only required to have a 4-foot side yard. The side yard for both of these units on the exterior sides are in excess of 7 feet and complies with the standards for single-family attached. The other variance that's necessary or being requested is with regard to height. It's an interesting discussion because your ordinance requires you to measure height from your finished floor. In this case, your finished floor is, if this were new construction, is permitted to be either at one or two locations per unit. It could be 9 feet above grade if you have a parking below, which, as you know, many people take advantage of. Or you can measure your height from 4 feet above the base foot elevation, which is where you start measuring. In this case, because these are individual lots and they are less than 30 feet wide, the building is only permitted to have a maximum building height of 31 feet. Okay? And again, that's measured from those two standards. But because this is an existing finished floor elevation, we're not changing. We're actually required to take that scale and slide it down and start measuring at the existing finished floor elevation. So the reason that's important is because we're asking for height variance, but we're still going to be considered lower than a by right building would be permitted to be on this site. So I just want to put some numbers to that real quick. If we were to tear this building down, and this building as designed is proposed to be at an elevation of 41.2 feet. So it's peak, elevation 41.2. The ground here is approximately elevation 6. So we're proposing 33 feet 10 inches above our existing finished floor. If we were to tear this building down and put our parking below and start measuring our height at 9 feet and then we go 2.5 stories above that as permitted at 31 feet, it would put the peak of our roof approximately 5 feet higher than what we actually are proposing. If you were to tear this whole building down and say, you know what, I just want to build a single family house on this lot, I get the benefit of the wider lot, so I can go to my 35-foot height, we could be almost 10 feet higher in height, and we would still be compliant. Actually, it's like 9.1 feet higher in height, and we would still be compliant. So although we're asking for a height variance, it's because of where we're required to measure the height. Excuse me, because we're not proposing to change our floor elevation. So,
and it's also a factor, John, of the lot, correct?
That's correct.
So if the lot, again, if we were doing this on one lot, and it was a single, it would be 9 feet higher than we're at now. Since we're on two lots and it's attached, we need a height variance, but it's still lower than we could go if we tore it down.
That's correct. And just to put the perspective, the whole next to this property, the picture of it, so right here, as a narrow lot, I don't know whether they got the height variance.
Pardon me one second. That's not a valid argument, that if you tore it down in there, because you're talking about a FEMA compliant structure versus a non-FEMA compliant structure, and you're comparing a single-family to an existing two-family on the site. And that's not apples to apples as far as the comparison.
No, I think with regard to that, we're just talking about the height that it could be versus the height that we're asking.
I did the comparative analysis again against it as a two-family on the narrow lot. So I'll go over it again real quick. If you look at just one of the units, okay, that unit is allowed to be 31 feet high above the finished floor. If I were to, similar to the conversation I had earlier, if I were to own this unit and I was going to tear my side down and rebuild my side, I would be able to go considerably higher than what we're requesting, even though we're asking for a height variance. The reason our height variance comes into play is because we have to measure from the existing floor elevation.
Right.
I realize that it's not compliant, but the issue with height is not about flood compliance. The issue with height is about the building looking too high for the neighborhood. So what this applicant is proposing is to develop a building that makes sure that that doesn't happen.
Okay.
As an example, you have a house right next to this one. That house that's a narrow lot. That lot's only about 24 foot wide. That house looks high. It's out of proportion, some would say, because it's a narrow lot. I'm going to presume that house is at its max as far as with regard to building height. We have two benefits going on here. One is we're attached to another unit, so we don't look like we're out of proportion. We look like we're a standard home with regard to its width and its height. And I think that's extremely important, because keep in mind the whole reason that your ordinance has a lower elevation for narrower lots is so you don't get that appearance of a very tall existing home. We don't have that. So because of the way we're measuring, you have to measure height from our distance from the door, and because of the fact that we're attaching it, we think that there's no impact in a negative regard with regard to that, to the height request that we have to show you this evening. The same thing holds true in our opinion with regard to all the setbacks that I've already identified. They're all existing conditions. We're going straight up with them, and we are not getting any closer to our neighbors, front, side, or rear. This is just a vertical expansion. Now, just to talk about the expansion a little bit, these are modestly sized units, and they're going to still be modestly sized units. If you look at the floor plans, this isn't about taking a two-bedroom unit to five bedrooms. If you look at the floor plans, they're called what they're called in the plan. Some are called dens, some are called downs. But if you look at the layout, they're essentially three-bedroom units right now, as they sit, when they're originally built. At the end of the day, they're going to be four-bedroom units. That doesn't actually change the parking requirement for even a building three-bedroom or four-bedrooms. So, and if you look at the ground floor renovation, the main floor renovation, what you see is they're moving some of those elements upstairs, laundry room and stuff, so they get a little bit more living space on that ground floor. They're just trying to make these units more comfortable for themselves. This is not a major expansion. But what it does is it keeps the building like more modestly sized. And if you were tearing down, I recognize that you're not going to be flood compliant, but we can't dance around that. But it keeps the building more modestly sized. In the neighborhood, it has a lot of modestly sized buildings, but for the one we do. So for all those reasons, we believe that these variances can be granted without a substantial detriment to the zone plan building limits, and certainly without substantial detriment to the public good. We believe that this proposal, as they've laid it out with Mr. Massioni's office, really actually is a benefit to this neighborhood, because they're trying to make their property better, but not doing it in a fashion that becomes, what we're seeing over and over again. Tear down, big square box house that goes to the max height. That's not what this is. This building, and it's important. I know we can't compare it to single, but we shouldn't be looking at it as one lot, but I think you have to think about that. This building, with this project as proposed, is 9 feet and change lower than a by right building would be allowed to be on this property. And this block has a good number of ranches in it still. So we believe this proposal fits in very well with the character of the neighborhood. We don't believe it creates any substantial detriment. And we believe that both the positive and the negative criteria are established for the C variances. With regard to the D variance, I think there's two main elements here. I think that the argument here is that we are creating a much more desirable visual environment through creative design techniques, all of which I've already described. I think that because we're not changing any of the setbacks, and we have larger than your normal setback for a single-family lot here on the side yards, I think we also can discuss the preservation of air, light, and open space on this site. One other thing I do want to point out is that there's technically a variance with regard to the layout of the third floor deck, because the third floor deck is required to be set into the building, and this is not. It's stacked. It's smaller and it's pulled back from the zestimate. But I think what we have to recognize or just take into account when considering that, because I know that's a sensitive topic with the board, you put some thought into that third floor deck proposal when you put it into the ordinance. Look at the building next door to us, which is, forget about how high it actually is and how, but look, that's a standard home new construction, we'll say, in the bedroom. You got a ground floor garage, you got a first floor deck, which is really at the second level. Then you've got a second floor deck, and then you've got your third floor deck, which is what is supposed to be inset into the building. Our first floor deck is not a deck, it's a porch. It's only about 18 inches above the ground. So our second floor deck is really almost identically at the elevation of what would be the first floor deck to our neighbor's house. Our third floor deck then is almost the equivalent of our neighbor's second floor deck. But because we're not elevating our home as such, that top level becomes our third floor deck and is now required to be inset, which really is going to match our neighbor's deck. At that, you know, within a foot or two of that, our neighbor's deck at that same elevation.
So, Peter, the fourth floor deck on the applicant's house will match up to the second floor deck on the neighbor's house.
Within a foot or two, correct? Okay, yes.
And the neighbor's house next door.
Then still higher. The neighbors then have another deck. That's correct. So, I think it's important because I know, especially in construction, we had a client who would advise them you need to push that into the building envelope. That's an important topic to this board, but that's because of the elevation of this home. It's not a third floor deck, it's at the second floor. There's a ground floor stoop or porch, and then you've got a deck and then another deck. So we believe that this plan, even though it classifies as a third floor deck, does meet the intent of the ordinance just because of where it's positioned above the ground.
John, just to be clear, because we are going to be looking for a D variance, the conditional use, what conditions don't we meet and how do we address that with the board?
So the conditions that we don't meet are obviously the lot area. The width of the individual lots are required to be at least 30 feet and they are 24 and a half feet. And then the setbacks that I've already discussed, we're not proposing to change any of those conditions. So the conditions that we don't meet right now as the building sits, none of them changed. It's the same setbacks, front, side, and rear. It's the same building coverage, which, by the way, can give you a level of comfort that this property's not overbuilt. The building coverage does comply. That's not even an existing non-conforming. That's a compliant condition. So it's the existing conditions that are conditions that we don't meet with the application, but except for going vertical, we're not changing it. So we believe that while we're not compliant with the conditional use standards, we have no negative impact on it.
Excuse me, John.
Yes.
Do these parking spaces actually comply? Are they legal parking spaces?
They are slightly too narrow. The requirement is nine.
Slightly nine?
Yeah.
It's 8'6" to the building, and it looks like that porch comes another 18 inches into that space.
Right.
What do you say, the porch?
Yeah, they cover the
porch. The porch in the front is not. There's not a line to the porch. We can only guess what that is.
Oh yes.
And then if you look at the bay windows, they encroach further into the parking space.
They do, and they are. Those spaces are.
There's really no legal.
No legal parking, but there is existing parking down both sides of the building. But
there are
it doesn't meet the current ordinance requirement for parking, but there's two curb cuts and two driveways. You pull into them, you have to position your car such that you can open the door. Like, for example, in fact, I was looking at that today, like the bay window on the right and left side, you know, as long as you get your car door positioned correctly, you can get in and out of your car. You park there because you need to.
Right.
Basically, by the ordinance, you have no parking.
That's correct, if you're going to look at that.
You have zero, you have to look at that.
If you do this project or not, that's a condition.
You have to look at that.
We need a parking variance?
Yep.
No, I don't believe.
For spots?
I mean, when I look at this.
We don't have one legal spot on the property?
Why?
There's a lot of cars in the driveway, but it shows me that they don't usually park in the driveway. They usually park in front of the apron.
Oh, okay.
I have seen that as well.
Which tells me that they're not using that side yard as for parking, if they're parking.
Three or four bedrooms.
Well, we don't, just to be clear, we don't need a parking variance.
Yeah, this probably cannot trigger a question, because three bedrooms and four bedrooms doesn't need a parking plan.
Correct. So it's another existing non-conforming. But don't we need variances for the existing non-conforming? If we're going to do this by four bedrooms?
No. Unless you're exactly.
We're not expanding.
Like, if we were going to five bedrooms, then that would change.
They need an additional parking space that would trigger a variance for the space and size. And also, I think there's something in the ordinance for existing non-conforming, you're allowed an 8-foot width for a parking space.
Oh, there, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
The picture also shows on the other side of the house, there is a car. So we were discussing that. I think they can use those spaces, the three of us, whatever. I couldn't tell from the picture if it was a parking there at the time.
You got many Coopers here in your home.
No closet, no door. Well, that's easy.
The chair storage and the aerial too shows me they're not really parking in the left side either.
Right.
More chairs.
Right.
So your elevation's what, 10.6?
Sorry.
First floor.
The first floor?
Yes.
7.4.
Oh, 7.4.
Is that complete? Are you complete, John?
Well, I just, with regard to the variances, we just want to go through Rodney's report. Quite a few variances, all existing. You've reviewed Rodney's report. Do you concur with his call-outs for the variances on pages 4 and 5?
Yes.
Okay.
I think I've gone through all of them.
Yeah. Positive, outweighed, and negative?
Yeah.
We've got your rules that on the table. So, Mr. Chairman, what I would say is we would rest based upon Mr. Massey and Mr. Barnhart's testimony, subject to requesting the right to recall them if the board or any members of the public have any questions.
That's fine with me.
Okay.
With board, we open up to the public at this point. If you are complete, is there anyone in the public who wishes to make comment on this application? Apparently not.
So this is going to definitely be a D. I know.
Hold on 1 second, please.
Okay.
The public portion recognizes that no one has invoked their right to testify before the board, so therefore the public portion is now closed. Okay, you can proceed.
Sure. So just to be clear, so the board members are aware, it's not the height, but rather the conditional use. We don't meet the conditions for the D variance. So the board members who are able to vote, we need 7 board members to constitute a vote, 5 being a supermajority to grant the application. So whomever normally would vote on a D, I assume we have 7 members who can do that.
Now, does the existing third floor, I have a question, is does that add any additional bedrooms or change bedroom space?
The existing first floor?
What you're adding, the floor you're adding.
No additional bedrooms.
Okay.
You're adding 1 bedroom to each one. No, you're adding.
I'm sorry.
You're adding
3 to 4. No additional bedrooms that would add more parking. We do have additional bedrooms, but it doesn't trigger.
Right.
I think I know where the chairman was going there.
It doesn't matter where the additional
parking. Correct. It's going to be 4 bedrooms, but parking stays the same.
And is it your position you don't need a variance for parking?
It's not my position. That's the law.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Just to clarify on the height, the reason why it's a height variance now and they're not allowed to measure from DFV, because
they were allowed to measure from DFE, they would meet the height, but say 2 years down the road, they come in for a lift, they get a height variance by default, so that's why you get it upfront.
Okay. And what exactly, what height are you at? Just, it's still a C variance, correct?
We're at 33.10 above finished.
So less than 10%.
33.10 or 33 feet 10 inches? 33.
What? 10% more.
I think 10 inches.
33 feet 10 inches. So that is what's proposed.
Correct.
Oh, that's not a good
idea.
Above finished floor.
Right. Right. So we have a D variance, so it's like
use.
Of the use because of the conditional use standards.
Yeah, the conditional use.
Yeah. Okay.
And those third floor decks are, they're outside the building envelope. I think you want to.
The third floor deck is outside the building envelope. It's above the second floor deck. It is pulled in from that with a pent roof around it.
Gotcha.
It's beyond the front building envelope.
And so your conditional use is subject to the variances that are sought because you have non-conforming uses.
Yeah, they can't make the lot bigger.
Yeah, they can't make the lot bigger, but that triggers your conditional use.
Correct.
The ordinance says you can have these attached single families in the R7 as a conditional use subject to certain requirements, criteria.
It's the lot width. It's really where it hits us is the lot width.
Yeah, but I think they wrote in all the front yard, all the setbacks too as a conditional use standards too. So basically all your variances are deviations from the
right. Right, and it's mostly based upon the fact that if the lot were 5 feet wider, each one, then we'd be fine.
I need 11 feet wider.
Yeah.
All
right. Yeah.
So yeah, the way ordinance is written, if you have any variances, you're
pretty much
R7, yeah.
The ordinance was done in 2009.
I need an update, Mr. Chairman.
It works.
So, okay. That's it. So, are you complete now?
We are.
I need Bart to have any further questions. At this point in time, if there's no questions, we'll go to a vote.
Yeah. So, it is a D3 variance. So, as Mr. Goldstein indicated, only seven members can vote, and we need five yeses for this to pass. So the deviations uphold, what's that?
It's only because they're attached.
Yeah, exactly. The deviations, and I'll just kind of go through them. This will apply to each lot because everything's the same on each lot. The lot area, they have 1,531.25 square feet for each lot with a requirement 1,875 square feet for these attached homes. Each lot's required to be 30 feet or a total of 60. And they are each 24 and a half feet or a total of 49. The front yard setback on each lot to the house is 7.7 feet or 12 feet required. The front yard setback to the second floor deck on each lot is at the 0 foot, at the front yard setback is 0 foot where 7 feet is required. The third floor deck, the front yard setback's at 1 foot where technically 12 feet is required and they're outside the building envelope. Again, that's for both lots. The rear yard setback on each lot is at 10.4 feet where 12 feet is the requirement. And the building height on each lot is 33 feet 10 inches, which is a C. It wouldn't trigger another D variance where 31 feet. Is the permitted maximum. In terms of conditions, obviously they're going to be subject to any outside approvals, which includes the flood damage prevention ordinance. Anything else to Mr. McLaren's report, unless otherwise addressed, subject to any representations made during the condition, pretty much just the standard conditions that we put in every resolution. Again, seven members will vote. We need a motion or second and a roll call.
Okay.
We need five. Yes.
So we need a motion and a second, please.
I'll make a motion.
Second. Roll call vote. State your reasons, please.
Joe Iannuzzelli.
I voted in approval. I'm approved. I approve the application. I think it fits in well with the neighborhood.
Thank you.
Jay Cook.
I'll vote in favor. Basically, the ordinance is triggered by the pre-existing condition, and then because the condition exists, they're doing modernization and expansion, so automatically the variances are triggered, and that would cause the use variance. The height is not excessive, and that is the case. So, and it fits within the profile of the neighborhood, does not look out of place within the scale of things. So therefore, I'll vote yes.
Thank you.
Lorraine Salata?
This just doesn't meet the conditions for me to approve it. So I'm very disappointed. I would like to, but I can't, so I vote no.
Dan Smith III?
I'm going to vote in favor of the application. I think it's the lesser of the evils that could be here. And these folks have owned it, and...